Hello, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I'm your host, Ali. Well, in this program, The Teacher, we try to answer some of the major questions about Islamic teachings. Please stay with us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to The Teacher. This is Ali, and today in this segment of Teacher, we're going to be talking about one of the very interesting subjects, and that subject is that of predestination and free will. The issue of predestination and free will goes back to like as far as a human creation can go. Like, people in all times debated this topic. Today, specifically, we're going to be discussing God's justice and the issue of eternity. We know that the Holy Quran directly speaks of the eternal punishment to be given to the kuffar, which are the disbelievers. That is, it speaks about eternity. In chapter 9, verse 68, Allah says, God has promised the hypocrites, men and women, and the kafirs, the fire of hell. Therein shall they dwell. Sufficient is it for them. For them is the curse of God and an enduring punishment. Just as in the verse following that, the Quran promises the believing men and the believing women gardens in paradise forever. And same chapter 9, verse 72. God has promised to believers, men and women, gardens under which rivers flow, to dwell therein and beautiful mansions in gardens of everlasting bliss. But the greater bliss is the good pleasure of God. That is the supreme felicity. This is again chapter 9, verse 72. This question then arises, and that is, how can one accept that in one's lifetime of 80 or 100 years, one commits evil deeds, and then for eternity, which is millions of years, he is punished? In other words, he committed those crimes and those bad deeds or evil deeds for 70, 80, 90, 100 years, correct? It's the average human life, right? Now, how and why is it that God will punish that person for eternity? We know that there are sins, there are many sins, who have a punishment in the eternal life for eternity. So the question that is raised is that how's this aligned with God's justice? Of course, this is not important as to the rewards, because the ocean of God's mercy is very great, and however much greater is the reward, it shows greater virtue and mercy. But as to the evil deeds, they are punished for eternity because of limited sins. How can this be reconciled with God's justice? Should a balance not exist between punishment and reward? So this is a very complicated issue which gets brought up by the disbelievers. They actually take a strike on God's justice, God being just, because of this act, that he's going to punish someone who has committed limited amount of sins in limited amount of years, but he will be punished for eternity. And it's a long-term punishment. So they say, wouldn't the justice of God call for a just punishment, which is, let's say he commits 70 years of sins, then he should be punished for 70 years, for instance. We're going to deal with this scenario and this question, which is complicated, as you can see, after a short break, so stay with us. Thank you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is Brother Mahdi. The discussion is the issue of eternity. My dear friends, life after death is a certainty. Death, my dear listeners, is not the end. In fact, it is just the transition towards eternity. Now, it would be smart to make sure our eternity is a good place, especially since we have to stay there forever. We have two interesting stories about the issue of eternity. The first one is about Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him, the first Imam and the most perfect student of the Holy Messenger of Allah. Now, this story goes as such. Suddenly, they saw Imam Ali coming towards the courtyard, but in a strange manner. He seemed to be on the verge of falling and was supporting himself by placing both hands against the wall. Imam Ali was reciting the last verses of Surah Ali Imran, undoubtedly in the creation of the heavens and earth, and the alteration of day and night. There are many signs for those who understand. Those who remember Allah standing and sitting, while lying on their sides, and reflect on the creation of the heavens and the earth, and say, "Our Lord, you have not created this in vain. Glory be to you. Save us then from the chastisement of the fire. Our Lord, surely, whomsoever you make enter the fire, him you have indeed brought to disgrace, and there shall be no helper for the unjust. Our Lord, surely, we have heard a prophet calling to the faith, saying, 'Believe in your Lord.' So we did believe. Our Lord, forgive us therefore our faults, and cover our evil deeds, and make us die with the righteous. Our Lord, grant us what you have promised through your apostles, and disgrace us not on the day of resurrection. Surely you do not fail to fulfill your promise." This is what Imam Ali had been saying. How amazing is this story! We find that the issue of eternity is very real and quite serious, that pious and perfect and noble and brave people like Imam Ali were seriously concerned about the issue of eternity. Let us learn about eternity and the hereafter and make real Islamic changes in our lives. Now moving on, the second story is regarding the sixth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace and blessings upon him. Malik ibn Anas, the famous Sunni scholar of Medina, once accompanied Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq on the Hajj, the pilgrimage. On reaching the Miqat, they all dismounted, offered the required prayers, and mounted their camels, then raising the slogan of the Hajjis, "Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk, la sharika laka." While they were reciting the slogan of the Hajj, they found the sixth Imam in an exceptionally strange state. He was shivering and his voice choking with emotion, unable to pronounce the obligatory slogan of the Hajj. So Malik ibn Anas came to Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq and said, "Yabna Rasulullah, O son of the Messenger of Allah, try to repeat the words with us. You know it is obligatory." Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq replies, "O Ibn Abi Amir, I am scared to utter these words. Do you know what they mean? They mean to declare, 'My Lord, I am ready to present myself before you and ready to submit to your will.'" The Imam says, "How can I proclaim that I am ready to submit to his will and then disobey? What will I do if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to my open declaration with 'La labbaik,' meaning Allah rejects my declaration?" So, dear friends, yes, eternity and the Day of Judgment and the weighing of good and bad deeds is an ultimate reality and a most perfect truth. Let us take the issue of eternity very seriously, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to gain knowledge of eternity and the purpose of our life and apply it in our daily lives. Thanks for listening.
We once had a teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures. Oh Allah, we've shamed ourselves, we've strayed from Al-Mu'allim. Surely we've wronged ourselves, what will we say in front of it?
Welcome back, dear listeners. Before we went on to this break, we were talking about the justice of God in relation to the punishment of eternity as a result of certain sins. We know that in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that there are punishments for certain sins, and those punishments are going to last for eternity. The question that gets raised is that isn't it contrary to God's justice that somebody commits a sin for 70, 80, 90 years and that person gets to take the punishment for eternity? Now let's deal with it. In order to reach a final solution to this discussion, several points need to be noted. And today in this program, we're just going to discuss one point, and in the following programs, we're going to have some more points on the same very issue so we resolve it once for all. The first point that we will talk about today is that the punishments on the day of resurrection do not resemble punishments in this world. For instance, a person is found guilty of aggression and plunder and he spends some time in prison, whereas the punishment at the judgment takes the form of efforts of one's deeds and the particularities of a person's acts. In clearer terms, the difficulties which one bears in the other world is the direct result of their deeds. The Holy Quran explained this very clearly where it says, chapter 36, verse 54, "Then on the day, not a soul will be wronged in the least, and you shall be repaid the meeds of your past deeds." With one simple example, we can visualize this truth that a person who goes after narcotics and alcoholic drinks, and no matter how much one explains that these things will ruin him and sicken his heart and destroy his nerves, he does not listen. He spends several weeks or months drowned in these killing pleasures and gradually develops ulcers, heart disease, nerve disease, and then he spends tens of years until the end of his life suffering because of this, and he groans night and day. Can one object here? Why does a person who only sinned for several weeks or months have to suffer for tens of years? It is readily stated in response that this is the result of his own actions. And this is where I would like you to pay attention, brothers and sisters. It is readily stated in response that this is the result of his own actions. Even if he were to live longer than the prophet Noah, we know that he preached for 950 years, and were to live for tens of thousands of years, and we were to continuously see him in pain and anguish, we would say that this is something he brought upon himself with his deeds. Punishment on the day of judgment is like this. Thus, no one can object to the justice of the situation. You know what injustice would be if God would have said that if you commit this sin, I am not going to punish you, and then he punishes us. when he has already informed us of the consequences that certain sins are going to result into eternal punishments, this is not contrary to his justice. This is actually in compliance with the justice of God because he informed us. So if he had not informed us and would have punished us, yes, we could probably discuss that. But when he has informed us in clear words through his prophet and through his imams, then we have no excuse. So with this, we conclude this first point. And in the next episode, we will discuss this with another argument, the same scenario, and try to resolve it. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Teacher. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care and bye.